This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Entered for your chance to win a round trip flight to Las Vegas, 5-night stay at the Circa Resort, as well as spending cash for you and three friends, $5,000 apiece. It's the Slam Dunk in Las Vegas. So just remember, you can always listen on 92.9 FM ESPN on the Odyssey app for an hour a day and a chance to win that prize. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, we've switched the schedule around a little bit. Tim had a little bit of personal business to attend to the last couple of days, so Tim Murray joins me. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at @1TimMurray, VSiN's college football basketball betting podcast, VSiN's betting tailgate show, Saturdays, 9 a.m. Central Time, stream live anytime, anywhere on the VSiN app. Good day, sir.
What's up, man? Good to be back. Good to be back. How are you?
We've got like the worst weather possible here. It's like 40 and raining.
Ooh, yeah, that's
just
gross.
Cold, gross, miserable, not a lot of fun. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. It'll be Tim's first time to play, of course, the game show that's sweeping across the nation, Buy, Sell Short, or Go to Reddit. I'll explain that to him in just a moment. Then we'll talk some college hoops next segment. An eventful night last night in college hoops. Wanted to get Tim's thoughts on that. We'll get into the list. We've had some hirings. I think the Swifties might have finally gone too far. Discuss Aaron Rodgers' future. We'll do all that. Then CJ Hurt of Grind City Media is going to join us at 3:30 like he does each and every Wednesday. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, Tim, this was a gimmick that Giannotto and I started. Do you remember the GameStop short squeeze craze that took over the internet for like 48 hours during the pandemic?
Yes.
So the idea
Didn't they make a movie off of that? Or
they
no?
did. Actually, I thought it was a good watch.
Yeah, I watched
Dumb
it.
Dumb Money.
Yeah.
It's got Paul Dano. I never know how to say his name.
It had Aaron Rodgers' ex-girlfriend in it.
Yes, yeah, Shailene Woodley is his wife in that. Nick Offerman was in it.
Seth Rogen. Was in it? Yeah.
Seth Rogen. I can't remember. I think the guy that plays... Vincent D'Onofrio, I think, played Steve Cohen, which I thought was funny, because very big man playing Steve Cohen. Not, I guess they kind of looked alike, but overall, I thought that was actually a pretty good watch. But the idea of the gimmick was we were playing upon that. Go to Reddit was designed for Mark to have a cop-out to not answer, and then I just started getting annoyed at him, and so I started making him answer. But, you know, it's a gimmick that I don't know if you've seen a lot in sports media, but I will present a statement. You will have to buy or sell it. You can also short it, which for us is, let's just be real, just us betting against it.
Sure.
So I've oftentimes viewed selling as, all right, I think the price is too high. I'm cool selling, but I don't necessarily want to bet against it. So that's generally how it works. So now that you've got the idea, Dennis, let's fire it up. All All right, Tim, last night the Memphis Grizzlies knock off the Phoenix Suns 119-112. However, Kevin Durant goes for 34 points. He needed 26 to get to 30,000 all-time to become the eighth player all-time to score 30,000 points. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. It was fitting that Kevin Durant got his 30,000th point in a loss.
I'll sell short on that.
Okay.
I think I'm doing this right.
Is it? Yes. I mean, so you yes, basically.
I'm against the take.
You're against the take, and it's, I think, for the same reason, Marcus. You DC boys have a weird special place in your heart for KD.
So I'm a little upset because I told a story on my morning show today about my coach, my high school coach, turning down a game against Kevin Durant's high school. And then I went back and I did a little extra research, and I'm like, oh, wait. He wasn't even playing in my area my senior year. I'm a year older than him. So he actually came to the D.C. area back from Oak Hill, which is that
factory
down in Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been telling that story for a while, and then I did some digging. I'm like, oh, wait, I wasn't even right on the story I was telling. But
it's okay. My old quarterback's coach used to claim that he was the last person to score in the new millennium. Or in the old millennium, because he played at UVA and they were in like the Insight.com Bowl. And then he told the story to me, and I was like, that's not true. Because I was at the time, I was an Ole Miss fan, and Ole Miss played in the Independence Bowl. The kick went through at midnight, and that was the only game on. I was like, yeah, no, whoever scored the last touchdown in Ole Miss, Oklahoma, that's who scored the last touchdown. And then he's like, I've been telling that story for like 7 years. How dare you? I was like, listen, I'm a slave to the truth.
I just went back and I looked up because I knew that someone from his high school, a school called Montrose Christian, that they were always the best team in the county that I played in my high school.
No way.
And yeah, shockingly. And yeah, I was like, wait, he wasn't player of the year? And then I looked it up. I'm like, oh, he was at Oak Hill my senior year. So he actually wasn't even in the area. So this story I've been telling about my coach turning down a chance to play Kevin Durant isn't even true. It was just the high school that he eventually went to. But I don't know. I want to hear your take on it, because I'm pro Kevin Durant mostly. Obviously, I don't know when he's ever been happy. Maybe OKC when he won MVP and he said, you're the real MVP to his mom. He wasn't happy at Golden State. He tried to pair up with Kyrie. That was a disaster. His foot, if he was a size 12, maybe he's an NBA champion in 2021. But he wasn't, and that ultimately led to their elimination. And then the Phoenix thing just hasn't worked out either. So I don't know when Kevin Durant's happy, but I think he's one of, if not the greatest, pure scorer or shooter. I mean, he's not the best shooter in history. That's Steph. But just his game is so unique from anything we've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm actually going to sell it. And the reason why I'm going to sell it is I think it's funny.
I do think it's funny. I think that's a good...
I do think it's funny. I also very much enjoy the fact that all the memorabilia... Because, like, let's be clear. This is an unbelievable accomplishment. I mean, there's been seven players that did it. I thought what was really striking is during the studio part of the broadcast, they have Shaq and Vince Carter in there. Both those guys, like, the first thing you think of is, man, they played forever. And neither one of them has 30,000 points. Shaq was like, I think, 1,500 short, and Vince was like 10,000 short, something along those. Like, it was a number you were like, wait, Vince played that long and he was still that short. So when you kind of put it into the frame of just what an unbelievable feat it is, like, and you think that of all the scores there are, and I get it, he's played in a much more friendly offensive era. Like, I understand all those things. There's still only been seven people to do it. And I do think if you're sitting there going, someone from this generation that deserves that award, well, yeah, LeBron is ahead for me, but Kevin Durant's second, and I would also say I think Kevin Durant's the greatest offensive player that I've ever seen on the offensive side of the ball. Like, whether it just be a 7-footer that handles the ball like he does. I mean, we've seen plenty of skilled 7-footers, but not that move like a guard, handle the ball like a guard, can shoot over the top of everyone. Like laser, just laser focus accuracy. Unbelievable. I also just kind of like the fact that, like, you know, he's going to have memorabilia from last night, and whether or not he's going to have to put the score on it, which I presume he won't, like, he's going to know. Like, and it's just, I don't know. It's like, to me, because I think he probably has two of the cheapest championships, probably, for an all-time great. You know what I mean? Like, he's unquestionably a Hall of Famer. I just kind of think fitting is probably not the right word, but it's kind of like in the same ballpark, same zip code, if you will.
Yeah, he's got one of the most fascinating careers because, you know, at times he wanted to be on the level of LeBron. And obviously, when you think back to that pull-up jumper he hit in, what was that game? I forget what game it was, 2, 3, or 4. I forget which it was, against Cleveland. It was the dagger after LeBron, I think, had tied the game up or something like that. I need to go back and double
which
check
series,
that.
Which one?
It was the one that was like quasi competitive, the 2017 one.
Okay, so the 5-1 one, or maybe they might have gotten into six.
It was just five. It was they won the first three. Cleveland blew them out in game four, and then they won game five.
Yeah.
I think back at home, and then the following year was the sweep of the Cavs. But for him, he couldn't get it done in OKC. You know, there's the big what if, right? They had Harden, they had Russ, and they had him. They got to the finals. They lose to the Heat. Then they trade Harden. They're right back there in, was it 2 years, 2 or 3 years later? They're up 3-1 on the Warriors.
It's the 2016, it's the 73-win Warriors team where they're not only were they up 3-1, they also had a lead on the road at Oracle in Game 7 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Russ went Carlton and tried to steal the ball and shoot big shots, and that did not work out all that well. And that's when I had the take when I was in my D.C. area days that said Russell Westbrook will never win a title, and I got a lot of crap about it. I'm like, he won't. As the main guy, he'll never win a title, and I've been very accurate on that assessment. But regardless, he's one of those players where I'm so fascinated how basketball, you know, purists will look back at his career, because to your point, the two championships he has, he joined a super team and he made them that much better. He was the MVP of those two teams. So and then they won another title without him, right, later on.
Yep. They have two with, two without.
Yeah. So I don't know how, like, basketball historians will look at him, but from a unique standpoint of him being, as you alluded to, the stature that he is at 7 foot, being able to shoot at the precision that he has, he is one of the more unique players we've ever seen play the game. And I think for him to eclipse 30,000 points, and it was nice, as you pointed out, to do it against Memphis in a loss, so a little bit of both, he's one of the greatest scorers we've ever seen.
The other thing I was thinking about is, because you see this a little bit with Jaren, and Jaren's ball handling has gotten better, but the other thing about being 7 feet and having the handle that he does is, it's like when, you know, when you pick up your son's, like, first basketball, and it's like one of those little bitty ones, and you realize, like, man, if I were that big and my hands were that big, like, it's tough to handle the basketball, like, to just control it. Like, when you try shooting those, it's like, you know, you can't get your hand underneath it to spin it. And the fact that he's able to do everything that he can do, like, he is truly one of the most skilled players we've ever seen. But I think the biggest distinction for me is, like, I've just never considered him, like, an all-time great winner. And, like, I get it, maybe that's sports radio hot takey, but that's just how I've always felt. Like, I think he's more committed to, like, basketball as, like, an idea or a concept than he is to just as a competition. And, like, it's a little bit, to me, he's like a mega version, super rich man's version of Kyrie, where I think all players have a much higher opinion of him than the general public. And the general public opinion is pretty high, but I think players have an even higher opinion than the public. And I think that kind of holds true with Kyrie too.
Yeah, the Kyrie one is one that I still don't fully understand. Like, he is looked at in reverence from players yes. around the league. Reverence. And we, the collective we, are like, huh? Now, up in, you know, these last, his Dallas run has been very, very good.
Give it time.
Yeah, no, and that's very true. But up until this point, it's been good. Now with these injuries setting in, the trade of Luka, AD's hurt, Daniel Gafford just got hurt, Lively's already hurt. Like, we'll see if some unrest starts to come out a little bit here. But yeah, it's you know, as stupid as it sounds, you know, we talked a lot over the summer. Like, I was so happy, not only as, you know, a United States citizen, but also that Steph Curry, LeBron, and KD, knowing in reality they're probably not going to win a title again.
It certainly had the feeling of, maybe it's not the last moment either any of them have, but it certainly felt like, okay, this could be like their last big special moment.
And for them in that semifinal, each to have a moment, and then Steph obviously had the France moment where he was absolutely out of this world.
Yeah, it was fun to actually root for that for once.
Yeah, like those three together, you were like, all right, this is kind of cool. They just came back. They beat Serbia. They all had a big shot that came through with a big moment there. It was kind of, I don't know about most people out there, but for me, I was like, it's kind of cool to see three of the greatest players of this generation, probably the three greatest players of this generation of hoops, and they all came through kind of in the, certainly on the, not even back nine, like back two of their career, more than likely.
Yeah, and I mean, and the other thing that I thought was like fitting was they each did it kind of in their own way. Steph going absolutely nuclear, just like, you know, closing his eyes and shooting, turning before, like when we think of Steph Curry, it's like releases the three from 30 feet, already turns his back to it, and it just goes right in. Like, we had that moment. LeBron being just an absolute animal, going to the rack and finishing in improbable ways, and then Durant just being an absolute sharpshooter. It was like the aspects of their game that we'll like immediately think about, they all had that moment on that stage.
Yeah, no doubt. I think by the way, I'm pretty sure there's a U.S. Netflix coming out soon.
Yeah, thank you for not calling it a documentary.
No, but it's not just of the USA. I think it's of all of the teams involved.
I'm pretty sure it's produced by Maverick
Court
Carter.
Of Gold.
I'm pretty sure it's produced by Maverick Carter and LeBron.
I just want to relive those moments, man. I don't know. I like those types of things where you get the behind, like the Redeem Team one that was on Netflix. Like, it was just fun to watch.
Well, see, but I'm a Coach K hater, so no, it wasn't. And by the way, Shire is really exhibiting early onset Coach K.
Yeah.
Do you see him snapping at everybody after the Clemson game?
Oh yeah. Well, the irony of that, right, is that Duke stormed the field when they beat Clemson in football just like a year ago, right? When Riley Leonard.
Oh no, no. The irony of that is, every single time there's a court storming in a movement to get rid of court storming, if you will track it, it is all people with ties to Duke because they can't stand when they get court stormed on, and they're like, sore losers.
They get court stormed pretty much every game that they lose. It's
yeah,
the that's, way it kind of plays out.
Yeah,
I will say
that's the trade off with having the ability to win a national title every year.
I will say Clemson hit that floor fast, man. That was impressive. Can we? I think Norlander said this on Matt Norlander said it on GP's podcast.
On College Basketball.
Yeah, which was, we can't do the whole like lights off thing though. Like, I'm actually okay with court storming. I don't know.
Were you on the air last night?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so I didn't know about your schedule. Last night, Mississippi State at the end of the first half, there was a, you know, like a half court heave at the end of the first half. Buzzer beater. They flipped the lights off before the horn went off, and I'm not saying it went in, but it was like close, and so you couldn't really tell. Like, that was when I was like, is this like synced up to the when the game clock reads zero, like that the lights go on. Like I was, because I don't think someone's pushing a button, because if you push a button, you're at least waiting to see, right, whether or not it goes in. I am with you on that. Like, we can't have the court storming in the light show as well.
I'm just proud we've gotten to the point of light technology where we can turn off gymnasium lights and not have them take 5 minutes to turn back on. Did you ever have that in high school where lights would go off?
Oh, yeah.
And be like, gotta let them warm up here.
Yeah, the lights would go out, and then, it's like, all right, here's 15 minutes, and you all get to warm up again. Like, now the lights just turn on. I'm not kidding you, man. That playoff game, the last playoff game that I covered in Chattanooga, they have the college LED light show. It was insane. Like, they scored a touchdown and it went pitch black.
Where was this?
This is at Chattanooga Baylor.
Oh. That's the new thing, man, is the light shows. I think Georgia's been doing that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
A lot of these SEC schools.
Yeah. I don't know how. I guess it's an in-person thing. I don't think it looks as cool on TV as it should. Sometimes though, like, the things that look the best on TV are just like, all right, just knock the lights out and have everybody put their camera phones up. Like, put the light on. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The Super Bowl sucked.
Sell short, because I made a lot of money.
Okay. So that's what I've noticed, is there are basically, here are the groups of people that did not think the Super Bowl sucked. Number one, Eagles fans.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, terrorized AFC teams that have been close but can't get past Mahomes. So Bills, Bengals, even though the Bengals have got past them, and Ravens. All of them were just like on fire. The third group of people was everyone that had Philly money line, and I did see the heartwarming story today that the fine people in Vegas cleaned up on that. I had the under, by the way. That was
That was tough.
That was when you have an under and then you see a pick six and then another pick at the 14. Like, you're just like, neither team was really moving the ball great, and you're just like, oh, this is the worst. And then the fourth group of people are just the Chiefs haters. Like, they all seem to very much enjoy it. But if you were just someone that just kind of wanted to watch the game, I don't know if anybody that enjoyed it. I think a lot of people found themselves, like, in the second half, kind of rooting for KC, not necessarily because they wanted to see KC win. It's just like they wanted to at least just see something interesting.
I would say the only reason, well, outside of, you know, my bet that I had made, and I had Jalen Hurts to win MVP, and I was like, wait, is he going to win this MVP because the defense is playing so well, and Sweat had 2.5 sacks, and I saw a bunch of people be like, Sweat should win MVP. I'm like, shut up, be quiet. Then the second half, I thought Hurts kind of proved why he should be MVP.
I think when he hit Devontae Smith in what might be the best throw he's ever made, I think that solidified it.
Even the drive prior, when he had, I think, picked up like 20, 30 yards on the ground.
Yeah, thought, was that a third down run too?
Yeah, he had a couple good runs where I'm like, all right, I feel better. Because I was trying to figure out if I should get some down on Sweat just to kind of have myself covered. Because I thought it was going to be either Sweat or Jalen Hurts. But I'll say this. I was still watching intently early on in the third quarter, because it was Mahomes. He is that special of a player that I was like, maybe they'll do it. And they just couldn't do it. I mean, I've never seen him
so
rattled. I've heard a couple people say that. I mean, I've heard a couple folks on different podcasts when recapping the Super, like, I knew right away this was over. And I think back, I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. But there was just still that part of me. I was like, I don't know. It's Mahomes. He could do it. Maybe it was the second pick, or I'm not sure when it was. I'm like, yeah, they're not coming back.
It was, for me, the second pick was, okay, this is over. But I was willing to say, okay, he throws the pick there. They still have like a minute and a half, right? And I think they had at least two timeouts. I thought it was over when Hopkins dropped the ball when he was wide open. Like, everybody had gone to the other side of the field. Third down, Pat steps up, makes a play, and he drops the ball, and he could have run forever. I mean, it was
24-0 at that time.
And it was 24-0 because I talked myself into, okay, Kansas City's defense is not playing poorly. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Philly's offense, but Kansas City's defense did to Saquon what really no one has done to them all year, which is take him away. And yes, they still made plays in the passing game, but a lot of that was in the second half when they're selling out to try and, you know, get a turnover, try to make something happen. So I thought if they could go get points there at the minimum, and then if they could come out and score a touchdown to at least make it 24-10, like, because they got the ball to start the half. Although it's like, okay, if they can steal the 2-for-1 there, maybe. But then when he dropped that pass, my wife's like, well, 28-3 happened. I was like, sweetie, the Falcons did not have the Philadelphia defense. And one thing you knew was for certain, the Eagles were not going to forget to run the ball.
No doubt. And yeah, that's probably the point I should have. I was still curious, first drive of the second half, if they got something there, would that get it rolling? You know, what was kind of, and I'm sure you've talked about this on the show, but to me, what was kind of interesting about the game was that, to your unfortunate loss on the under, it wasn't like, for a game that had 62 points, there really wasn't an explosion from one particular player, maybe outside of Hurts having his, you know, 70-plus rushing yards. You know, Xavier Worthy has some big numbers, but he scores two late touchdowns. It's like, all right, those are pretty empty calories.
A couple of them happened after Sirianni was doused with Gatorade.
Right. Like, the touchdown
was against the back. This is how big of a blowout it was. The Eagles put in their backups on offense and defense.
Yeah. Like, it was 40-6?
I mean,
they scored their last two touchdowns? So
it was 34-0.
Yeah. I would say the reason I liked it was because of, look, at the end of the day, we're all selfish to an extent, right? And I work at a gambling network as my full-time job, and I was one of the few people on the network who liked the Eagles and had Jalen Hurts to win MVP. So I was pretty happy with the result. But if I was, to your point, a casual, you know, football fan, it was not the last three Super Bowls. That's certainly true, right? This felt much more like the Chiefs-Buccaneers Super Bowl we saw in 21.
Well, I think the other thing that I think was legitimate from people, commercials weren't great. And honestly, most of the commercials that I saw that I liked, I had already seen. Like, I really did enjoy the Uber Eats. I thought that McConaughey campaign about football designed to make you want to eat, and maybe it's because when I sit down and watch football, all I do is eat. Like, I think that that campaign's been a good campaign. I thought the finale of it was good as well. But we had seen that one. That one had been leaked early. And then after that, like, I kind of just feel like they're all competently made, and you can tell, like, the quality is very high, but they just kind of do nothing, say nothing, and then you had, like, the weird ones, whatnot. And then a lot of the other critiques were for the halftime show. And in the spirit of full disclosure, my wife likes Kendrick Lamar. She wanted to watch the halftime show, and that's right in the middle of put my daughter down to bedtime. So I was like, cool, I'll put her down now. You can go watch that, and this will make up for the fact that...
What did she think? As a Kendrick Lamar fan, I'm curious.
So she thought it was blah, because... Yeah. And I think that's also the problem. Kendrick didn't really play the hits. Like, my whole deal on it is, I just feel like when you're at that level of the Super Bowl halftime show, it's kind of a greatest hits thing. And so if you are going to make the artistic choice, no, I'm playing what matters to me, that's fine. Like, that's your prerogative. But you also have to acknowledge that's going to come with criticism when, what, the overwhelming majority of the audience is not familiar with your work.
So what was funny and what kind of made me be contrarian on the halftime show, like, I don't know. I'm not.
I also thought it was quite the NFL chef kiss of hypocrisy to preach to us all, like, that entire time, like, right before it, stop hate, They had the Harbaugh weird thing, hate. And literally, we had a Super Bowl halftime show that was designed to hate Drake. It's like, okay, that's a bit of a mixed message, but fair enough. Continue.
So I found it myself being like, I am a super non-hip 37-year-old man, and I like my co-host Jonathan Von Tobel did a whole segment on, you know, what will be the first halftime song. And I just sat there and I was like, I got nothing to add. I was like, I don't even know any of his songs. I probably was like 5 months late to the Drake song. Like I don't really listen to music, you know, all that much. But what made me kind of be like, you know what, maybe it wasn't that bad, was the morning show that I'm a part of in Milwaukee with the bunch of like boomers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love them to death, those two guys. But they were texting like, worst halftime show ever. I'm like, you know what? Maybe it wasn't geared to 50 to 60-year-old men. And they're like, fair enough. So,
yeah, I
don't know.
This was the only pushback that I heard that I at least was like, all right, I'll hear you out. Our whole lives, the Super Bowl halftime show has largely been dedicated to legacy acts that largely appeal to people in their late 30s, early 40s, and there is screaming, what happened to us? Like, they're just bypassing us. Like, it's gone from, we went from watching, like, the Rolling Stones and the Who and all of our favorite bands and acts, they're just getting blown through, and we're now just catering to, you know, people in their 20s again.
I'm looking back at, you know, I
think,
though,
a big problem is, if you think about our generation, okay, who are the legacy acts that would qualify as Super Bowl halftime show acts? Because if you're going the band route, well, they're not my favorite band in the world, but I acknowledge how massive they were. Coldplay's done the halftime show. Like, I don't think, are the Killers big enough for Super Bowl halftime? I know you're in Vegas, no, like, but
I don't think so.
Right? Like, we're kind of.
Chili Peppers have done it.
I guess Green Day could.
Nah, you don't want the Green. You don't want.
Green, I mean, Day.
I would like it.
As a Blink guy, I'm not. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, oh, you must love Green Day. It's like, no, actually, there's kind of a rivalry there. I don't actually.
Yeah, I'm just looking back at some of the notable acts. I used to when I was a kid. I used to turn it off and watch the Beavis and Butthead halftime special. And then it became the Celebrity Deathmatch halftime special. That was the peak of my days.
Yeah, I feel like we've also outgrown the. Or
by the way, half of these I'm looking back at, I don't even have. Like, do you remember Shania Twain and No Doubt?
All I remember is Shania Twain doing "Man, I Feel Like a Woman" kind of on the stage. But in terms of that act, no, not really. What Super Bowl was that?
That was Super Bowl. That was the Bucks whooping of the Raiders Super Bowl 37.
I thought Katy Perry's "For a Pop Star" one was pretty good. Left Shark will always live in our memory.
I mean, Prince was all time.
Yeah, he played three songs. Like, that's my whole thing. It's like, okay, if you're going to do the "I'm just going to be an artist," it's like you kind of got to do what Prince did, which is just have everybody go, is this guy the best musician ever?
In the pouring rain
yes.
in Miami.
Yeah.
I thought Bruno Mars was pretty good. I'm a
yeah,
sucker
I liked
for Bruno.
I thought Bruno was good.
Timberlake was pretty good, if I remember correctly.
That was Minneapolis. You had a lot of people that were firing off takes about him doing the hologram Prince. Like,
Prince thing.
Yeah. Like, if you've ever been to a Lakers game, the way they, like, bring the curtain down from the scoreboard, like, that kind of video represents.
Upside down 50 Cent, you know.
Oh, I liked the L.A. one.
The L.A. one was really good, and they played a ton of songs.
Yeah.
I almost, like, there were a couple where I was like, I could have used a little more, like, Eminem. I was like, I could have used a little more Eminem, but, like, Mary J. Blige was really good. Like, that was almost too much. Kendrick Lamar was part of that, too.
Yeah. Again, I also acknowledge, like, I was never going to have that strong of an opinion. It's like, when they announced Kendrick Lamar, it's like, okay, well, they're not going for me.
Right. That was my thing. I was like, I don't listen to Kendrick Lamar, but okay, cool.
All right. last one. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The Chiefs dynasty is over.
Oh, God. Sell.
Did it? Okay. Because obviously I'm shorting this. Yes, I don't want to bet against this. Were you as surprised as I was that Monday, like, I knew obviously there's always going to be takes after this game. Like, I acknowledge that. I was just so shocked that the prevailing thing was, like, death to the Chiefs. It's over. I was like, they still have Mahomes, right?
He's 29 years old.
Like, yes, he played probably the worst game I've ever seen him play. College, pro, anywhere in between. They still have Mahomes.
I got a text message from one of the group texts I'm in saying, man, this really hurts his GOAT chances. I'm like, he's 29. He's won 3 Super Bowls. He's been to 6 consecutive AFC championship games. What are we doing here? Is it 7? I think it's 7 straight.
Okay, so let's even just play the math out. All right, Pat's 29.
Yep. He's played for 7 seasons as the starter. The Chiefs have made the AFC championship every single season.
How long are we giving him as still as mobile as he is? Because I do think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah, I'd give him at least 6 or 7 more years.
All right, so I think it's entirely possible that we get at least 3 more appearances, and I'm trying to be conservative. Would you agree with that?
Yes. If it was over under, I mean, if it was over under 2.5, max bet the over.
Okay, so we're there. And then how much are you going to give him for his Elway years? The years where, all right, he doesn't have the legs anymore, but he's still an unbelievable thrower, and he's still seen everything there is to see defensively. You're telling me he can't eke out a couple more?
Well, and I'll say this. Like, did you guys watch quarterback? He's taking care of his body. I mean, this is where we're getting with superstar athletes. Tom Brady, LeBron. These guys have taken care of their body to the utmost level. And players like Patrick Mahomes and others, who I'm sure I'm leaving off, are taking that to the next level. And I'm not saying he's going to play and win a Super Bowl at 40, whatever Tom Brady was, 43, 44. But could Patrick Mahomes play for another 10 years? Absolutely. I would almost be surprised if he didn't. And think about it this way. They had no business winning the Super Bowl last year. Like, I think people forget that. That was not a vintage Chiefs team. The offense wasn't great. The defense was awesome. And Mahomes was Mahomes, and they beat a really good 49ers team. And, oh, by the way, they went on the road to Baltimore, road to Buffalo, beat both of them. And this team's just going to get better. Like, they're going to start filtering in. Like, what? How many years off was it from the Patriots' early run to when they got Randy Moss? Like, so, how old was Brady? 30? He was in his mid to late 30s.
So, Randy Moss is the 07 season.
Right, because they went 19.
So I think they go
18-0 and lost to your Giants.
I think it's the 05 Super Bowl. So there was 2 years in between getting Moss or whatever, their last Super Bowl, and then getting Moss and then getting beat as the 18-0 team.
There's going to be different stars that go in there. Who's to say that Xavier Worthy doesn't become a superstar? I don't know if he will, but he's off to a pretty darn good start.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced he's more than a gimmick, but I'm with, who's to say they can't find something else? Like, you know,
and when you look at this offensive line, they had a guard starting at left tackle. Like, at some point, they're going to go out. I was just doing a radio hit in Baltimore, and he was like, you know, Ronnie Stanley's on the Ravens. He's like, what if the Chiefs sign Ronnie Stanley in free agency, and you've got a all-pro level left tackle?
Well, the other thing is, Andy Reid is an offensive line coach. You don't think that his first thought on Sunday night was, I got to figure out offensive line?
They had to figure out, remember, it wasn't that long ago, folks, that we were laughing at this defense. Like, they could score a bunch of points, but can they stop anybody? Well, now they can. And yes, the Eagles had some success, but the point that's getting glossed over is the one that you made. Saquon Barkley had 25 carries for 57 yards.
Tim, they were 3 of 12 on third down.
Like, they had a pick six. They had a interception inside the 20-yard line. This defense was not tragically bad against the Philadelphia Eagles, a top 2 offense. Like, and let's just point this out. It was a blowout. Mahomes didn't play well. The Philadelphia Eagles were a better football team, okay?
Yeah. 100%.
Every which way outside of quarterback and head coach.
And look, the quarterback played better than their quarterback, and the head coach wasn't really forced to do a whole lot, but also Andy Reid is the play caller. They couldn't figure anything out. You can make the argument they got outcoached.
I agree. And like Nick Sirianni at this point, I think he's underrated. Like last year hit him hard of the stories we heard about the unrest in the locker room, him and Jalen not getting along. Like this dude's been in the Super Bowl now two of the last 3 years. That's pretty darn impressive for a first-time head coach. Like I think Nick Sirianni is a bit underrated as a head coach. I'm not saying he's better than Andy Reid. I still would take Andy Reid over him. But Vic Fangio versus Spagnuolo, is that a wash? Maybe a slight edge to Spagnuolo. But if you went down the roster, and this is why ultimately I landed on the Eagles, I think we talked about it on the show. Running back, Eagles. Wide receiver, Eagles. Tight end, Eagles. Defensive line, Eagles. Secondary, Eagles. It was special teams, quarterback, and head coach, which is where you would give the edge to the Chiefs going into that game. And to your point, Jalen Hurts, who was runner-up for the MVP 2 years ago,
yeah,
played out of his mind.
No, he made one mistake on the interception early, yep, and then after that, he didn't really make one. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Before we do that, I want to remind you, Valentine's Day, of course, is coming up on Friday. There's still time to get over to Robert Irwin Jewelers and get the Valentine's Day trifecta. Shop now through Valentine's Day and get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates free with your purchase of $99 or more while supplies last. You can check out the Diamond Essentials collection. It's a classic collection of crafted diamond solitaire earrings, pendants, and bracelets featuring perfectly matched diamonds with excellent proportions to ensure you get a bigger yet brighter sparkle. Those start at $599. Also, a big hot item right now is the 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets. One of the hottest gifts of the season. You can get yours starting at $799. If you're looking for something in the a little bit more affordable price range, you can give her a heartfelt and affordable Love You to the Moon and Back pendant. It's a beautiful diamond necklace for just $129. It's the perfect way to say I love you forever. Again, free with every purchase of $99 or more, a dozen fresh roses, and a box of chocolates. 12 months interest-free financing or take up to 60 months to pay. Shop early for the best selection. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. When we come back, let's get into the world of college basketball. It was a big night in college hoops. Talk about that with Tim. We'll also get into the list. CJ Hurt coming up during hour number 2. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, Tim, as officially football season is done, a lot of us will be turning our attention. You and I have been turning our attention to college basketball for a little bit now. But a lot of people have been turning their attention to college basketball. And
I thought you were going to say the Four Nations Cup.
So this is new, right? Is this their
Four
response
Nations
to the World Baseball Classic?
I don't know what it is. I bet you everybody listening right now is like, what are you talking about? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, starting tonight in Montreal, we will have Four Nations Face-Off.
I can name the four.
Go for it.
Finland, Sweden, Canada, America.
Yes! Nailed it. And tonight,
I guess we're still doing the Russia doesn't exist thing.
I guess. I don't know. But yeah.
It is insane to me now when you watch like tennis tournaments or whatnot, and you still see someone that's clearly from Russia and like they don't have a flag next to their name. It's like
I took pictures of it when I was over. So I covered the Olympics 8 years ago when this like first started. And they were OAR, Olympic athletes.
Yeah, but at least
Russia.
that one was designed from the intent of like, yeah, we uncovered like the greatest like steroid ring we've ever seen.
Yeah.
This one is just because like their state, their dictator decided to go to war. Like, we're acting like that these athletes can't have a flag. It's like, okay. By the way, that whole point of that was to impose the will to make them stop the war. It's like, okay, can we act like the athletes have nothing to do with it since they don't?
Yeah, I hope it's comparable to 2010 with the Olympics in 2010. Those were great.
Yeah, except the wrong team won.
Canada did beat us. That was an unfortunate ending to that one. But I rudely interrupted you because, yes, we do have that Four Nations Face-Off. I texted my producer from VSiN today. I'm like, hey, do we want to talk about this? He's like, no. I'm like, okay, good point.
So they paused the NHL as well, right? They're treating
for like
2 weeks. Like they're treating it like they used to do with the Olympic break. So they're taking time off. Listen, you put the stars and stripes in, like, as long as we're competitive, I'll probably tune in. But
look, Sunday night, or I think it's Saturday night, USA versus Canada up in Montreal. I'll probably put it on a screen.
We also had the nice scene where the team invited the father of, is it Jarpardot? The two brothers that were killed in the bicycling their sister's wedding. Like, just got awful. But they invited their dad to, like, stand in for the team picture. I thought that was pretty cool, too. So we also had college hoops last night, and my first question for you is UConn back because Liam McNeely single-handedly killed Dollar Beer Night?
And did you see Hurley walking off the court?
Okay. Was that the first video recorded example of bald-on-bald crime? Because he very, very, like, sarcastically referred to the other guy as Baldy, and I was like, Danny.
You don't got any hair either.
I mean, that'd be like me calling somebody short. Like,
I'll say this, all kidding aside, I don't know what to do with UConn. Am I a little hurt because of their squandered lead last Friday night as you and I had UConn in
just
that spot?
Angrily texting each other the whole time, just dog cussing them. Everything in the book. Losers. No will to win. Oh, God, we were so angry.
Furious. Because
I did make a good point to you, though. They jumped out to too big of a lead. I thought Auburn was going to do it last night, too.
So, circling back to the UConn thing, right? Liam McNeely is, from a talent standpoint, I don't know if he's top five, but maybe top 10 talented player in college basketball. Just pure talent. I'm not saying best player, whatever. Like
I certainly agree offensively. I've not, because he's been hurt for so long, like, I don't know how he is defensively.
I don't love this team. Obviously, like the last two who went and won the national championship with ease, covering every single game in the NCAA tournament over the last two games.
Thanks be to the puppies.
Because like, you look at some of the pieces they have to go to, like, how can Aiden Mahaney be so damn good for St. Mary's and then just be like a liability when he goes to UConn?
Are you familiar with the work of the West Coast Conference and the athleticism of the league?
I am, but like, at least when they went to the NCAA tournament, I feel like he wasn't exposed. He played Gonzaga. Like, I witnessed him last year in the WCC championship game against Gonzaga take him to task. Like, he was awesome. And I don't know if that's just a Randy Bennett thing, putting him in the right
spots.
Yeah, but
it's also not like Gonzaga's known for lockdown stops.
I mean, Memphis, I felt like, was the first team this year watching that game in Maui and being like, ooh, yeah, that's not going to work. Because they were like, that guy, we're going to go at that guy. And they did, and they beat him. So I feel like there's a bunch of teams, and I'm not trying to make this a cop-out, but I feel like there's a bunch of teams
that... Don't forget, Grand Canyon kind of shut him down.
Yeah, they should have. Did Grand Canyon beat them, and then they should have beaten Alabama.
Yeah.
I think there's a bunch of teams like a UConn, a Maryland, that if they're on the right line, you're gonna be like, ooh, you're not gonna want to mess with them as a, you know, I don't know where UConn is right now from a bracketology standpoint. I think they're probably in like that 6 or 7 range. The advanced numbers don't like them. How about this? Kansas State.
Yep.
Is figuring it out right now.
Did you see the shooting performance last night?
Holy smokes, yeah.
Kansas State went one of, for the audience out there, Kansas State went 1 of 19 from 3. It was the lowest, I think, since 2014. It was the lowest D1 3-point percentage in a win. Arizona went 2 for 22. It was like the lowest combined 3-point percentage in 2 years. And think about that. That's in Division I. Think about how many teams are just god-awful. That includes that.
And they still won.
Correct.
And this is a team that spent a ridiculous amount of money in NIL. And it's a small sample size, but the sample size is growing. Kansas State, per Bart Torvik, going back to January 25th, so we're at almost 3 weeks, best team in the country.
Small sample size, obviously, but these are the other teams in it. It's not like a bunch of randos. It's Kansas State 1, Florida 2, Alabama 3, Missouri, who has just been covering at an insane rate. UCLA's playing good hoop right now. Auburn 6, St. John 7. So that's your top 7 in the past 3 weeks. So Kansas State, they're another one of those teams. It's like, man, if Jerome Tang's team can just stay hot, this team could be one that you don't want to face either.
The other thing that happened last night, I think it might have been Mike Woodson's last testament to his old coach, Bobby Knight. He was not going to let Tom Izzo beat Indiana to have him pass Bobby Knight under his watch. That was the most head-scratching game. I'll give Indiana credit. I don't think they've quit yet.
No. And whoever that guy was who hit the three-quarters court shot on Saturday, salute to you, sir, because that was important to some, including yours truly.
Oh, we middled finally.
Oh, did you have...
I laid 2.5.
I got a push, so it was the happiest push I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, we laid, the syndicate laid 2.5. That was, you know, that was another game where it's like, it, you know, they jump out to the big lead. And yeah, oh God, that one was tough. Also, while you were asleep, and I know everybody has this, everybody's number one gambling move, fade the Waves last night. I just want to give a quick shout out to my alma mater. Tim, let me read you the score from last night at halftime. Pepperdine in the battle, the PCH Cup. This is the rivalry game. Pepperdine LMU. Everybody knows it. It's just one of those games that you see. The Waves, in the second half, they scored, they made a layup to make it 51-48 with the lead, 9:51. They scored 1 point, making one of two at the free throw line at the 4:29 mark. They did not make another field goal until the 3:28 mark. They did have two layups inside of the last 30 seconds, getting outscored 41-23. Against the dreaded Lions of LMU, and LMU wins and covers 69-60 despite being down 9 at the half. That's good stuff. They also on Saturday at Wazoo were up 7 with a minute 15 left and lost the game in regulation.
Fun fact, the best cover team in college basketball played
San Jose State
last night. San Jose State got a cover against San Diego State. So if you're wondering, ladies and gentlemen, the team that is covering at the best rate in college basketball this year, the San Jose State Spartans, head coach Tim Miles, and they're 18-5-1 against the closing number this year.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into Aaron Rodgers' future. We've had some more movement in the NFL, and I think we might have hit the point. Tim, I'm willing to do it. I think the Swifties went too far this time. We'll talk about it when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.